You'll mark your songbooks to number 674, 674. We'll sing that at the end of the lesson here in a few minutes. Well, we're happy to see everyone this morning, and I hope you've come through the weather this week, survived all of that, and we're glad to be here this morning. Sorry that Karen is still not feeling well. She's still getting over this cold, trying to. She's had it for almost 2 weeks now. So she's still not able to be with us and didn't feel like making up the bulletin this week. But hopefully she'll be back here maybe Wednesday night. And so I appreciate your prayers for her. And if we'll turn now to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin our lesson there in a moment. We're going to be talking this morning about building on the rock. And as we think about our lives, how do we know that the life that you're building is going to be able to stand the test of time and the test of the day of judgment? Because each one of us, the life that we're living is based on the choices that we are making each day. And the Bible speaks here about building on the rock, building a solid foundation under our life. And this is a lesson that I would like to make as a sort of a theme of a number of lessons throughout this year. And I will plan to come back to this theme regularly, every month or so, and talk more about the importance of building on the rock, that our lives need to be built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word. And what we are doing as a congregation, that is true, and what we are doing in our lives to be building on the rock of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want to say that one of the purposes that we have in all that we are striving and teaching is indicated here in these verses in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14, where he said, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And he is referring here to the things that they have heard and the things that they have learned and been taught to be reminded of those things, that we may know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. We always are concerned about the foundation of our lives, the soundness of the foundation that we are building upon. And that is ultimately based upon the faith that we have and the truth of our faith that is in Jesus Christ, to be able to test that foundation and to see that it is solid, that it is based on the truth. So we always want to be examining the evidence for the scriptures, the truth of Jesus and his claims to be the Son of God and his resurrection from the dead, his word, the truth of the scriptures being the inspired word of God. Because ultimately, those are the things that we are basing our lives upon and believing to be true. But having said that, then ultimately we also want to understand that building that foundation is something then that is going to affect every single aspect of our lives. And we realize that the faith that we have in Christ and in His Word is something that is to be lived out in our daily lives. It affects our godly lives, our faithful congregation, the marriages and families And being unselfish, loving, caring people that take the gospel and out into our daily lives and impact the lives of others. It's never just a doctrine that we believe and don't take any further. It is in action. Put it into action in our lives. But first of all, that must be a solid foundation that we are building upon that is rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. Then we have a solid foundation that we are living and believing and carrying out in our lives from day to day. So that is why the lesson, I believe, is so important that we are building on the rock. And as we turn to Matthew chapter 7, and beginning with verse 24, Jesus here, as he came to the close of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he began to speak about the choices that we are making. And there are several previous verses where he talks about choose the narrow way and those teachers who bear good fruit and so forth. He's leading up to this conclusion of his sermon where he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And then he goes on to turn this back around, and he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Jesus here had been speaking to them throughout the Sermon on the Mount, presenting to them a way of life. A way of life that often was radically different in many ways to what they had been taught and led to believe by some of their teachers, like the Pharisees. Jesus was challenging those teachings that had really been handed down through the tradition and weren't really rooted and grounded in the truth of Scripture as he wanted us to be. So he is teaching us the way of life that we are not just to, as he said in one place there, he said to be angry and to maybe say things to your brother, but he says that those who would be angry and call your brother a fool in the eyes of God is the same as murder, or of taking the life of that person. So God's word really goes deeper, he is saying, than on the surface. Sometimes we want our life to be just on the surface, that it looks good. It looks good from an outward. But Jesus is saying, no, it goes to the heart. It goes deeper, much deeper than that. So therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus makes it clear here that hearing his words is not the goal of being a Christian. And we might think that by coming and hearing the word of God being taught on a weekly basis, that we're fulfilling a responsibility by doing this. That is simply not true. Jesus is saying that a person who hears the words of mine and does not do them is deceiving themselves. That is being a foolish person, that we're not taking the word of God and putting it in practice and obedience to his word in our life. Just the same as James says in James chapter 1, when he is speaking about the word of God there, and he reminds us, he said, but be not hearers of the word, but doers of the word, deceiving your own selves. Be not hearers only, but doers of the word. And that is what Jesus is saying here. That action speaks louder than words. when it comes to living the Christian life. It's by obeying the words of Christ, listening to the words, but doing them. And I would challenge each of us in our life that whenever we come and we hear the Word of God, that God is always putting something there to challenge us in our life, that our life needs to be changing constantly. And you cannot look into the pages of God's Word and not come away with the fact that this is a mirror reflecting into my life where those areas are that I need to be changing. So Jesus is presenting to them a challenging message that, yes, is full of hope and encouragement and a way of life that He can be there to save us and give us a home in heaven. But there is a challenge built into that. We need to hear His words. We need to take them home. We need to apply them. And that means there are going to be things in life that we need to be changing and looking at honestly in our lives. You know, many times today, there are churches out here and there are preachers and teachers out here, and some of them that we hear on the religious stations, on the television or the radio perhaps even, where people are being taught things that simply are not squared with the Scripture, the Word of God. And people are being led to believe that there is a way of life that we can be living here that is we don't need to be concerned so much about change in our life. We don't need to be concerned so much about living out our faith and putting so much pressure on ourselves. Jesus' blood covers everything. And we need to not be trying to always help God out with our salvation. Well, let me tell you, Jesus here in His Word, here in the Sermon on the Mount, He tells us that, no, it goes deeper than that, because He says that if a man looks at a woman to lust after her in his own heart, he has committed adultery with her in his heart. And so many of the things that we are hearing and being taught today in popular Christianity, we need to look at the Word of God and see that God's Word is challenging us to live a godly life. He says, "The grace of God has appeared unto us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. So there's a message that Jesus has for us that goes beyond hearing the Word of God to obeying and putting the Word of God into our life, that we need to make changes. That's how we build upon the rock. That's how we know that when our life comes the test of time and the test of the day of judgment, we have built on a solid foundation. We have not just tried to smooth things over and convince ourselves that everything is okay in our life. No, we have looked at God's Word and we have taken it and made the application. Apostle Paul spoke about the Bereans in the book of Acts. He said that they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. They were noble-minded, he refers to them. Well, let's look then in a second passage of Scripture where we build upon the rock in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 11 through 15, he says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than what is laid, that is, Jesus Christ." So when we are building upon the foundation of the rock, we are building upon the foundation that God has already laid. God has already laid this foundation of Jesus Christ. When we come today and we take His Word, we are building upon that foundation that He has already laid. When He sent His Son into the world and He died on the cross and He rose from the dead, God laid that foundation of our salvation. There is no other foundation than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say here, he says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. The Apostle Paul came to the city of Corinth. And the city of Corinth, a very ungodly place. And he said, I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he preached Christ to those people in the city. And he says, no other foundation can anyone lay. If Paul came into the city of Corinth and he tried to preach a message there that would soften the need for godliness in the lives of the people. A city was rampant with sexual immorality, from what we know from history about the city of Corinth. And the Apostle Paul came there and he preached an easy message of Christianity that feel good everyone. He would be building upon a foundation of wood, hay, and stubble. And he understood that. No, he wanted to preach a gospel that was built upon the truth. Building with gold and silver and precious stones. And whenever the truth is built and we apply that in our life, that's how we are building upon a solid foundation that will stand the test of time when we come before the Lord in the day of judgment. When we come to the test of temptation in life, we are built upon a rock. We have a solid foundation under our lives that we are able to endure. And the Apostle Paul is pointing out the fact here that if he preaches the truth and he lays that foundation in Jesus Christ, and some of those brethren, they go away and they do not make the application and apply that to their life, then he has done his part, but they may not stand the test of time. Some of them may not remain faithful, may not hold firm to the truth that he has preached, and yet he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. In other words, Paul recognized that there is, first of all, a responsibility that rests upon the one who preaches the Word of God, that the truth that we preach must be consistent with Jesus Christ, the foundation that God has laid. And then it becomes the responsibility of that individual, having heard the truth, to hear it and obey it and build their life upon it. Well, then we go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we again find that the apostle here is speaking about building upon the rock, the solid foundation that we need to have built upon our lives. And he begins to address here in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jews and Gentiles, all people, are brought together in Christ in one body. And the Lord, when He had His plan, He had a plan here for us to all be in one body, in one church. There is one gospel, there is one Lord, there is one plan of salvation for everyone. God intended for us to have a unity together in His family, in His household, in His holy temple. And we are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles, and Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. We understand that in the building of a building, that the chief cornerstone is the most important stone that is laid in the foundation. And that is Jesus Christ. Then we have the apostles And they were inspired men by the Holy Spirit. So we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And that means that we are built solidly upon the Scriptures in everything that we are striving to be as God's people. A holy temple. Finally, we come to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 through 8. And this is the fourth passage here that I believe refers clearly to the importance that we are being built upon the rock. And he says here, beginning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.' Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they are also appointed." We see what Peter is doing here is he is pointing out that every person is either building upon the rock of Jesus Christ, or they are rejecting that rock that God has placed here for us to build upon. And when we choose Jesus Christ as the foundation of our life, then we become brought into God's special holy people, His holy nation of people that bring glory and honor to Him. That is referring to the church, the body of Christ. The elect holy nation of God, who in the Old Testament was the people of Israel, but today is the people of God, made up of all who follow and serve Jesus Christ. But he is pointing out that Jesus Christ here was a tried and chosen stone of God, that many of the people, even the elders of the Jews, rejected him. And yet he is pointing out that when they rejected Jesus Christ, he became a stone of stumbling to them. And by doing that, they separated themselves away from God. So Jesus Christ is the foundation of your life one way or the other. If we accept him, then we become built upon the rock. But if we reject Jesus, then he becomes to us the stone of stumbling that is ultimately going to lead to our downfall of the life we are attempting to build before God. Let me put this in simple terms that hopefully we can understand, that God throughout the Bible has been consistently building this foundation from the very beginning of what His purpose is for our lives. And I just wanted to point out that in the Old Testament, when we read in the Old Testament, there is a rich background there that is preparing the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. Because in the Old Testament, when we read about God, Jehovah God, He is referred to as the rock. God was the rock for the people of Israel. They were to build their lives upon Him and His Word and His truth, the law of God that He had given to them when He came down upon Mount Sinai and revealed the law to Moses. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses, at the end of his life, was speaking to the people of Israel. Just shortly before he went up on Mount Nebo in the land of Moab, the Bible tells us, and he died there on the mountain. He was not able to go into the promised land. God allowed him to look across the river and to see the promised land across. But he then died somewhere in the land of Moab, we're told. But before that, he made this amazing speech. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, He says here, beginning, he said in verse 4, he said, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." Coming down a little further in verse 13, he said, "He made him ride in the heights of the earth that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle." But he said, "Jeshurun," verse 15, "grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese." Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. So he refers to God here throughout as the rock of his people, the rock of salvation. And we keep that in mind that as we come over to the book of Psalms, we begin to read about the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah would be referring to Jesus Christ who would come. But in Psalm 118 and verse 22, there is a prophetic verse here that is given through the Psalms, which, of course, he is singing the praises of God as, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel say, his mercy endures forever." But as he comes down in verse 22, he says, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, he was laying the foundation then for the coming of Jesus Christ so that the people would understand that God was choosing this stone for them, for their rock that would ultimately lead to their salvation. Throughout all the Old Testament, the keeping of the law of God, the people have failed to do that. We have not been able to justify ourselves through the keeping of the laws of God perfectly. God would send a Savior into the world, and that Savior would be His Son, Jesus Christ. So he says there, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." God understood that they were going to reject His own Son, Jesus Christ, when He came into the world. And when Jesus was here and He began to experience that rejection by the leaders among the Jews, He said to them in Luke chapter 20 and verse 17, He was referring to these very things. And He said, "Then He looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Jesus was prepared then to understand that He was going to be rejected by His own people. He was going to die. He was going to be put to death upon the cross. And yet, that stone that God chose was the stone, the rock of salvation. And those who rejected Him would eventually find that that was the stumbling block, not the rejection that they thought in mind, that they could put the Son of God aside and reject Him. But it was actually to be their demise and their downfall. In Acts chapter 4, when the Jews arrested the apostles and brought them before the Sanhedrin council, and they set them before them, in Acts chapter 4, they said, "By what authority or power or what name have you done this?" That's Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. And then Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we see here that the apostles began to use this as one of the cornerstones of their teaching of the gospel. That Jesus Christ was the stone rejected by the builders, but which was chosen by God and is the chief cornerstone now. Jesus then is that rock. There's no question about that. That Jesus Christ is the rock upon which we must build our lives to be prepared that when we stand before God and when we face the trials and the tests of the storms of this life, we have a solid foundation under our lives that we can build upon. Let me give you a couple of illustrations of how this really, I think, works in life. First of all, we might think about the Seahawks Stadium for a moment when it was under construction. Remember back when Paul Allen had that dream of, you know, building a stadium here for the Seahawks, and he began to design that and put it all together with that vision that they had in mind. It all began to come together. In other words, we have taken our family down and done that tour of the stadium, and it's really an interesting tour when you go. They take you through all the underground, the press box down under the stadium. You get to walk out through the tunnel onto the playing field and take you up there where the 12th man flag. You see the whole thing, the luxury boxes, the, you know, the concessions on the inside, all those beautiful ways that people can come together and watch the football game. All of that was designed, though, with one thing in mind, and that is scoring touchdowns when they get out there on the field, right? I mean, now, all of that beautiful design of the stadium, how you come there and when the Seahawks are playing, that's one of the loudest places on earth. That you know, they register that on the Richter scale almost when people are yelling there for the Seahawks. It's amazing. The opposing team cannot even hear the signals being called. But they had that vision. But ultimately, it's when you're in the game that it matters. That's what I'm saying about the truth of Jesus in his word. That all of the teaching, all of the learning, all of the putting these things into our life, what it comes down to is when we are out there living our lives from day to day, that God's word that we have built our life upon helps us to prepare us to have that foundation under our life so that we make the right choices in life. That our families are actually not dysfunctional families. We actually have families that function as God intended and designed the family to be. You know, sometimes I'm finding today, as I talk with Christians, that is not always the case. Sometimes we actually do have dysfunctional families, even in the church. Because why? We're not taking these truths of God's Word and living them out in our homes. Sometimes maybe it was we walk out that door and get in our cars and go home. That's the extent of the teaching of Christ in our life that really impacts the way we are living on a daily basis. And that's sad. That should not be the case. That's what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. That when you hear these words of mine and do them, then you're a wise man building your house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came that beat upon that house, and it stood because it was built on a rock. Think about our daughter, Angie, over in Montana, and how, I think it was 7 years ago, they had the dream building a new home. And Jeremy said, Angie, you design it the way you want it to be. So she did. She planned that house out from beginning to end. And it is a beautiful home. Karen and I love going over to Angie and Jeremy's home in Lolo, Montana. It's out 10 miles south of Missoula. Anyway, designed it, their bedrooms, it all in mind because of their family. She wanted it to be just right for their family. And it just is lovely. But now they are selling that house. They're moving into Missoula. Why? Because Cooper, the oldest son, 15 years old now, he's in high school. And he has to go on the bus into Missoula every day. But they're thinking down the line that Cooper's 15, next year he's going to be 16. He's going to be getting his driver's license. And he's going to be driving that road in the wintertime every day from home to school and back. And so they are made a decision. They're going to sell that home that Angie designed it, is dream come true. And now they're going to move back into Missoula. Because, really, what's it all about? It's about family. It's about the things that happen in that home. You may have a beautiful home. You may have everything planned out perfectly. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is living your life and being a family in that home. Those are the memories. And we were talking to Angie the other day, and she says, I'm just a puddle of tears here every day now, selling this home, and we're moving back into town. But we know it's the right thing to do. They look at that house now. Those last 7 years, they've had Max, and now they've had Knox. You know, and those boys growing up, those are those memories that your life is based upon. That's what Jesus wants our life to be like. He wants us to take His Word and put it into practice in our life so that it's not just things up here in our head, it's actually being lived out in day-to-day life. And it impacts our families, it impacts our work, it impacts our relationships with one another and our relationships with people outside of the church. We are being a reflection of Jesus Christ in the lives of people. And so God wants us to be building on the rock the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the tried and precious stone that came down from heaven and gave His life for us, and God raised Him from the dead. He is the stone which the builders rejected, but which God has made the chief cornerstone. The question is He the chief cornerstone in your life? Are you building your life upon the teaching of Jesus Christ? Upon the fact that He's the Son of God, that He came and He gave His life for you, and now He is the Savior that God has appointed for all men to submit to. This morning, if you are in the audience and you are subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we're going to stand and sing number 674 as an invitation song. And if you're here today, we invite you to come as we stand together and as we sing. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are
There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are